Let's call the meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:33 PM, Thursday, April the 9th, 2015. Present today are Senators Hoffman, Senator Stedman, myself, Senator Bishop, Senator Egan, and Senator McKinnon is busy doing the people's business. So with that, I'd like to recognize staff here today, always ever-present Christopher Dickrell from Senate Records. Ms. Page is our teleconference moderator. My committee staff are John Manley and Brittany Hutchison. You know the cell phone drill. And today's meeting, we are going to hear HB 146, Municipal Tax Exemption by Representative Munoz, SB 79, Reemployment of Retired Teachers and Administration by Senator Dunleavy, and SB 88, Teachers and Public Employees Retirement Plans by Senator Egan. And I believe we have Mr. Harvey to come up, put his name on the record, and briefly review HB 146. Floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Terry Harvey, staff to Representative Munoz, who is away on a personal matter today, and sends her regards. On Tuesday, we talked about HB 146 and it being a tool for municipalities, an optional tool to help develop land for housing. It is a housing issue. Incentives for those that are looking to develop three or more lots on a piece of property, and it would allow for a municipality, if they choose, to abate the increase in property tax above and beyond the property tax base that they would begin this development with until the property went into commercial or residential use. And then at that time, the full assessment would kick in for the municipality. And there's flexibility in this bill and for a municipality to choose to abate all or a portion of that increase in property taxes. And we appreciate your support on this. There was a work draft that I believe was adopted during the last hearing that reflects, rescind, but we'll get to that. Thank you, sir.
All right. We did close public testimony at the last meeting, and the public support was overwhelmingly in favor of this bill, and we had zero negative public comments. So any questions, committee members? Seeing and hearing none, do I have a motion?
Second, we have an at ease.
At ease.
Would you want to move?
We're back on the record. No other further questions from committee? Senator Stedman?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to move the bill from committee, version H with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations and the title change.
Okay. So moved. Brief at ease. we're back on the record. I'd just like also for the public and those in the room that 146 will have another committee referral. It goes to Senate Finance. Okay, next up we have SB 79, Reemployment of Retired Teachers and Admin by Senator Dunleavy, and I believe Ms. Peterson's in the audience. Would you please come up and present the bill to the committee, please? The floor is yours. And we do have, when we get to that point, we do have several here to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Sheila Peterson, staff to Senator Dunleavy, and Senator Dunleavy is chairing a Senate Education Committee at this time and so was unable to come. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Senate Bill 79, a committee substitute that passed out of the Senate Education Committee. Currently, Alaska is experiencing a shortage of qualified educators, especially in hard-to-fill areas. And as you can imagine, this situation is compounded by the drastic reduction in state revenue due to the oil prices. Senate Bill 79 expands this pool of experienced teachers and qualified teachers available to school districts. This becomes another tool for the school districts to be able to reach and educate the students of our state. This allows school districts to reemploy educators who have retired for 1 year if they're younger than 62, or after 3 months if they're older than 62. This bill will not require any school district to reemploy any particular individual. It will only give them the option to do so. Educators reemployed under this provision receive the retirement benefit during the period of reemployment. On the recommendation of the Division of Retirement Benefits, the committee substitute requires school districts to pay the standard 12.56% to the teacher's retirement system based on the educator's salary. This is the same rate that the school districts must pay for active employees. Senate Bill 79 provides just one more tool to local school districts struggling from a shortage of qualified educators and a decrease in funding. I might add that a couple weeks ago, the Alaska Teacher Placement Job Fair was held in Anchorage. There were 265 candidates, both teachers and administrators, but there was 707 in openings. So you can see the disparity between those people that are looking for jobs and those people or those openings that the school districts have. It's not to replace the active employees. It is just to give the school districts another tool to be able to staff their school and their school districts appropriately. I would be very happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you provide the committee with where those 770 positions are located throughout the state?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hoffman, I personally cannot, but I can certainly find that later. Lisa Parity, the Executive Director of the Council of School Administrators, may have that information.
Thank you.
We have Ms. Parity in the audience, Senator Hoffman, and she's available if we want to bring her up now. And
no. When she testifies.
Yeah, she'd be testifying. Thank you.
Senator, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe just try to help me click into the subject matter. So okay. The local school district pays a 12.56 or whatever it is, the normal TERS rate. Then the employee or the new employee on the rehire, if he's retired and pulling his pension, what's the interaction there and on future accumulated benefits?
To the chair, Senator Stedman, what Senator Dunleavy envisions is that a local school district recognizing a need would first go to the active employees and see if there's someone they can fill, but if not, they will turn to a person that may have been retired and wishes to come back. that person that is reemployed maintains its benefits throughout the time that they're reemployed, their retirement benefits, the retirement pension, as well as their health benefits.
Okay, and then on the accumulation of any future additional benefits?
There is no accumulation of any future benefits.
So the only, if I could, Mr. Chairman, so then there's no impact on potential unfunded liabilities or anything? It just, the catch is just the pay the 12.56% to help mitigate the unfunded liability, basically. Is that correct?
To the Chair, Senator Stedman, this was a discussion that Senator Dunleavy had with the Division of Retirement Benefits, trying to have a fiscal note that would be very reasonable for this and not slow down the concept of being able to give this tool to school districts. The Division of Benefits is here, John Boucher, so he can correct me if I misinterpret the meeting. But basically, the actuary working for the division is concerned that this might be an incentive to people who are currently active will decide to retire early than they would have normally, and then will go back onto the rolls as a reemployed retired teacher. Senator Dunleavy does not think that this is the case, but others think that may be the case. And so this amendment that he proposed in the Senate Education Committee is to help mitigate any potential increase into the unfunded liability.
Ms. Peterson, how many teachers do we anticipate maybe, or let me back up. How many school districts do we anticipate that if this was to become law, that it would impact?
Through the chair, Mr. Chair, I don't honestly know that, but given the vastness of the disparity between how many openings there are and how many people are applying, I can only assume that there will be several school districts be very interested. The support for this bill has been there. School districts are asking for this. We have 53 school districts. I guess I would venture a guess, maybe a third to a half, or possibly more. Lisa Parity or another individual that may be online might have a better handle on that. Senator Dunleavy, when he explained this bill in the Education Committee, his envision of, particularly in rural Alaska, that has a high turnover, and I believe about 30% of the teachers in some school districts may leave, that they would want to hire new people that come out and want to work in rural Alaska, but they would also like to have an experienced teacher, a teacher that has experience in Alaska, knows Alaska, and they might hire three new young teachers and hire one retired teacher who has experience. That person can be a mentor to the new teachers that they hire. So it's a win-win for everybody. He saw this when he was the leader of the mentor program several years ago, and that's why he's a firm believer that this system works, that they used retired employees and teachers that had experience in urban Alaska were very excited to go out into rural Alaska. And he just think this will be a way to expand the pool, but also share the knowledge that an experienced teacher may have with some new teachers.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Because I think I would like to bring Ms. Paraday up to, maybe she can help us with some of the hypotheticals on employment numbers. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Paraday, would you like to come up and put yourself on the record? And
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Lisa Skiles Paraday. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators and the Executive Director of the Alaska Superintendents Association. I do have some prepared testimony, but I'm also very happy to answer any questions.
So, did you heard my question earlier? So could you give us a sense on the hypotheticals that could be employed if this bill was to become law?
Mr. Chairman, I think one point that might help clarify that is we have approximately 30% of turnover rate or higher in the rural areas, about 7% plus in the urban areas for teachers. We have 14% turnover rate of principals, and I think what's most staggering, and we've never seen it in Alaska before, is, and it's in your packet, but I also have another copy if you don't have that handy, and I encourage you to take a look at it. We're seeing a staggering turnover of superintendents at this point. If you go 2 years out, we've had over 50% of superintendents new to Alaska. And so in terms of answering your question, I think it will depend on the position, of course, but it, for example, in the superintendent ranks, clearly it may be used more than, say, an urban teacher situation because the varying percentages and the greater need. I do have a breakdown of the ATP 707 current positions, and I'll share those with you. We have 53 administrative positions, 15 athletic positions, elementary school teaching 125, high school teaching 115, middle school teaching 43, nutrition services and other 116, student support services 131. And basically, if you add together administration, elementary, high school, and middle school, and student support services, there are 467 current jobs posted. And if you consider that 2 weeks ago we had the Alaska job fair, and we had about 265 people attend that, you can see just right there a supply-demand issue being out of balance, as well as UA produces about 250 people per year as well. So we're short. We don't, you know, we've had in the Senate Education Committee questions about, well, are we going to deny teachers out of college or new teachers the opportunity to take these positions? Well, I could tell you that districts wish they had that problem, but that is not the current situation. So I think we'll see limited use, because I think generally people advertise, they get a pool, and this just adds an additional tool to that pool. My guess is probably comparable to what Sheila said. I think you're going to see under half the districts use this, but it sure would be a great opportunity to expand that pool if possible.
Okay, so with that being said, half the districts use it. We've got 53 districts, and who knows how many schools are in each one of those districts. I'm just trying to get a black art number, how many positions that would look like. And if you feel comfortable with that, that's fine. If you don't, I got one in my head I'll throw out there.
You know, I think last time this was in law, we had less than 200 teachers for the period of time use it. That's my understanding from the Department of Administration in our meetings with them. So I think our need is greater now. I wouldn't expect more than that, but probably comparable. I can tell you that in looking, and you're certainly familiar with this, Mr. Chairman, that the statistics in Alaska are showing that about 85% for the Department of Labor, about 85% of our UA graduates working in the state are working in education occupations. And so I think we are pipelining people here into those positions, but we're still seeing such a great need. So it's hard to put a black and white number on it, Mr. Chairman, but I think if we go by what happened last time and combine it with the need, you're probably looking at, you know, 200-ish at most.
Okay. Senator Stibben, and I want to come back. I have a follow-up. You have a question?
Just to, you know, as we get into this issue, and there's some other bills, I think, coming to be floating around the table, maybe you or someone else can kind of give us a recap on the retire, rehire issue in general. For instance, what's the current status of the rehire, because the presentation so far is has been on, you know, a proposed bill, but where are we today?
Mr. Chairman, the current status, and again, the Department of Administration is here and they can correct me if I misstate this, but we're allowed in districts to rehire up to 0.49 for a position. But that's very limiting for a district. If you are, for example, in a rural area, say, you know, EAC or somewhere where you have to recruit someone for a half-time position to come to fill like a highly qualified or a high-need area like special education or math or science, it's almost impossible to do. And what we've seen, and you'll probably hear some testimony about it today, is that districts, while that is a really critical tool that we don't want to eliminate, the 0.49 for temporary or substitutes or short-term coverage, in terms of a year-long full-time teacher, if you're fortunate enough to have someone available to you when you don't have anyone else, this expands that pool. So the current status is you can hire up to 0.49, but we're finding that districts have struggled with that in its use. And frankly, I'll leave it. I think one of the superintendents will speak to it at more length in his testimony from a practical experience.
Just as a follow-up for those watching at home, explain what 0.49 is. You don't hire the less than 50% of the person. You must have
time, Mr. Chairman. Yes, thank you, Senator Stedman. It's 0.49, less than half time.
Right.
Yeah, thank you,
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you. To get to the turnover rate for teachers, you said that, or it was stated that 30% turnover in rural Alaska and 7% in urban Alaska. Why do we want to make this program statewide when obviously the problem is in rural Alaska? And if we want to lower that number, why wouldn't we make this legislation on hiring retired individuals only in those areas of the state that have the highest percentage? Because every one that goes to urban areas at 7%, it's taking away someone that's willing to come out of retirement and go back in away from those school districts in rural Alaska that obviously have four times the turnover rate than urban Alaska.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Hoffman, thank you for that point, because I think we are seeing greater need in rural Alaska, certainly with teacher turnover. But case in point, I think we've all seen that one of our largest districts suffered from not being able to recruit special ed teachers. And so I think it is reflective of a national shortage, which we know exists in terms of both administrators and teachers, now being seen here for the first time in a very long time. And so it is having a greater impact on our rural areas, but it certainly is also impacting our urban areas. And I think I'll go back to this superintendent turnover list. This is a statewide issue, and it isn't really rural or urban. It's we're just struggling to recruit and retain superintendents.
Well, I can understand superintendents because mm-hmm. you only have one per school, but when you look at all the teachers in the state of Alaska and you have a problem at 30% turnover, and this legislation is trying to address it for the whole state, is there anything that can be done to address the areas of the state that have the highest turnover? You know, it seems as though we're setting into motion a program to hire retirees to address a problem that is a statewide problem, but four times as a problem in rural Alaska than it is in urban Alaska. If we're going to do this, what can we do to address the high turnover, if there is any, for rural Alaska that has obviously the highest turnover? And, you know, I'm mm-hmm. concerned that if we go ahead and institute this program, that the people that are coming out of retirement are in a position in their life, they want to enjoy some of the amenities that are offered in urban areas of the state, and we may see the people that are coming out of retirement going to urban areas and not rural areas because of their stage in life.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, I again agree that it is more difficult in the rural areas, having tried to recruit in a very rural area for a long time. I think those districts struggle more than urban areas, but I think urban areas struggle equally to recruit highly specialized areas, such as special education, such as math, science. Those teachers are in very short demand everywhere, nationally, and certainly in Alaska. And I would like to share one thing, if I could. Our organization, the Alaska Council of School Administrators, is an umbrella organization for all superintendents, all principals, and also school business officials. And they work in advance of the session for several months to come up with what are called joint position statements. And it was important enough to all of them, superintendents, secondary and elementary principals, to put in here that retire, rehire is one of their highest priorities.
Great. So, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Then you're telling me that the specialized areas have high turnover rates in urban and rural Alaska. What is the percentage of those specialized areas on turnover in urban Alaska versus those in rural Alaska? Because the more specialized you get, the more demand, the higher pay. It seems as though those individuals as well will be looking at getting employed in urban Alaska. So what is the actual turnover rate for those specialized special ed teachers and other categories in rural Alaska versus urban Alaska?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, I will get you the specific breakdown of urban to rural in terms of specialized hard to recruit positions. I know right now they have 131 statewide positions open, and more are being posted every day, because when they did the joint or the job fair pursuant to negotiated agreements, many districts post internally first, and so not all positions were posted. So these numbers are climbing every day, but I will get you that specific breakdown.
And the other question I have is that with the budget cuts that we're contemplating, and we don't know what level that's going to be, but school districts across the state are saying that they're going to have to lay off teachers, many as 100 in Anchorage or maybe more, depending upon that level. Should we wait on this legislation to see exactly what happens with all of those teachers that potentially get laid off, or should we take action on this legislation without that knowledge?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, certainly it's my hope that we won't end up being in a position of having to lay off all those teachers. I think that I can speak for all educators on that note, but I will tell you that it would be our hope that you would pass this, because it's not requiring districts to use this as a tool. It's just putting another tool in the toolbox as a possibility.
And the other question that you did not answer that I was most interested in, are there programs or legislation that can be proposed to target those hiring teachers in rural Alaska? Does your association have any recommendations in that regard?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, the organization supports all districts, but I think in particular have been on record supporting things like teacher mentoring, which is focused on rural Alaska and which is a best practice to retain those teachers.
But that's an existing program, programs. I'm talking about to address any recommendations, such as this piece of legislation to address the high turnover rate. Is there anything that your association has in specific recommendations in that regard?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, I think that this proposal before you would be one of those that have come forward directly from superintendents in rural areas.
My question, this is statewide. My question was specifically legislation specifically aimed at those areas that have 30% turnover, not an overarching legislation that addresses the whole state, specifically to those areas that have 30% turnover.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, we have not put forth ideas specific to the 30% other than what's before you and, you know, specific support to those districts as they're required, I mean, when they ask us.
So on a statewide basis, who's looking at that? You know, I know that it's a problem in throughout the state of Alaska. Each school district is struggling with it, but as a state, which statewide organization is looking at that and trying to find a solution?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman, I would say our organization in combination with the Alaska School Boards Association, and it's a really important tenet of both of those organizations to not split between urban and rural. It's very heartfelt, and I think in our policy work stated that we believe we have to advocate for the entire state, and this is a statewide issue. Urban districts are suffering from this high turnover as well.
I'm well aware of that. I'm not trying to divide urban and rural. Right. I'm trying to acknowledge that there is a four times a problem in rural Alaska than there is in urban Alaska. Trying to get on parity, trying to get the students in rural Alaska that have a high turnover rate. When you have high turnover rates, let me tell you, the students suffer.
Okay.
Even I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to get those students that are in rural Alaska on parity, that to reduce the turnover rate, which is four times as high in rural Alaska than in urban Alaska? I'm not here to have an argument about urban-rural divide. That is not where I'm going. I'm trying to get a policy to get students in rural Alaska on parity in education. That's what it's all about. And I don't want any legislation to have an urban-rural divide.
Thank you.
So let me jump in here and help answer this question for you. I'm going to give you guys a roadmap right along with Senator Hoffman's line of questioning, because this is where I wanted to go about 10 minutes ago. When you do that, I'm just speaking out to the world here, because there's about four topics in Alaska that will get everybody's attention: education, oil taxes, fishing game. So you can see the discussion is going right here. So when they do exit reviews in the bush, why are they leaving? So that would be my first question to fix that. Why are they leaving? The second thing is that because you can't fix something if you don't know why they're leaving. So that's just I just throw that out there for you. And that goes for superintendents as well, right? The two go hand in hand. And the next thing I would do is, then when I found out why, then I would try to correct the problem, because as Senator Hoffman spoke, right, he knows the bush as good as anybody. I know it pretty good myself. But there are districts out there in rural Alaska where teachers have been teaching for 20 years in those communities. Now, I've always said when I was in my other job, you know, this district's got problems, but you go across the street, and this district, teachers have been there 20 years. Why are they there 20 years? Talk to your neighbor and ask, how are they retaining teachers for 20 years? So there's a few ideas, and I got one bone to pick. It's not with you. It's just with the process is we talked about the number that you had, the job fair, number of teachers openings, and number of students that applied or prospective applicants. And I know of some Alaska UAF graduates that applied for teaching positions that couldn't even get hired, born and raised in their own state, and couldn't get hired here and go to Arizona and get hired just like that. That's a problem. We need to look at why that is, too. So anyway, we got a lot of public testimony. If the members choose, I'd like to get into that after Senator Stedman asked a question.
Well, you're going to forget me.
How could I forget you?
I don't know.
Okay.
12 of these 53 school districts. What a number. But I don't know offhand the turnover rate. I can see the turnover rate here in the 12 I was paying attention to, of course, because they're in my district, but even broader. I don't really have a good feel for that. And maybe you could look, help us with some data on regions or school districts, not only with the superintendents, but with the rank and file. As Senator Hoffman mentioned, it'd be nice to get a better view across the spectrum. I'm not expecting to see a problem in most of my districts. I would think it would follow more along the lines of the urban numbers, even though we're rural. But I wouldn't want to bet the farm on it until I see it, because there are performance differences within some of my schools, although the Southeast schools score well when we test the kids, which I'm very proud of. And so they're not, I don't buy into the argument that the education system's all broken and destroyed.
Thank you.
At least not in my area of the state. Not saying we can't use some improvements, but anyway, I think that would be helpful to have some of that data put together for the bill. So, as mentioned earlier, we can try to focus on the problem areas versus an entire shotgun approach, or at least review it and decide we want to do a broad statewide policy. I have to wait and see until we get a little bit more information. Excuse me, a little more information.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Follow up, then we're going to go online because we've got people waiting.
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Sedman, I will definitely get a breakdown of the turnover rates by geographic area, and I think I can provide that to you fairly quickly. Just as a follow-up to you, Mr. Chairman, I know that districts do read their exit interviews. I can tell you that part of what's happened is that we've lost competitiveness in terms of salaries, certainly in terms of retirement benefits, and we are no longer able to hold our own against the lower 48. And so when we're in this kind of recession, and particularly with looking at the cuts that we're getting ready to try to manage at the district level, that continues to add to our difficulty in terms of competition. Another area in the rural area, Senator Hoffman, is technology. And so when you read those exit reviews, there's a real equity issue, and a lot of our teachers in those rural areas have technology as their only link to the outside world, and when you're operating on 1 meg or 2 meg or 3 megs, that causes a lot of frustration, not just with teaching but just in living conditions. And I could go on and on in terms of some of those issues dealt with in the rural setting, and would be happy to provide some of those to you in writing. I think our superintendents who are reading those exit interviews and are online to testify can certainly give you a real experience. So thank you very much for your consideration. I'll follow up with the data you've requested, and we hope you'll support this bill. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to Cordova first. And we have Pete Hoffner up in Cordova School District. Are you there, Pete?
I am.
Put your name on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Excellent. Thank you very much. This is Peter Hefner. I'm on the Cordova School District Board of Education. Thank you for your time, Senators. SB 79, the Retire Rehire Bill, this is a good bill. Our district faced a sudden departure of our superintendent in mid-July. That point in the year, all superintendents have been hired, as the usual time frame for hiring superintendents is January through March. We were fortunate to have multiple retired superintendents with experience put their name forward. It was remarkable that individuals were willing to uproot their lives to help our district. Mr. Carlson is a respected and experienced administrator, and was able to add a sense of calm to our district and to continue moving our district forward. He was selected only to be our administrator for 6 months, but we're allowed special dispensation to allow Mr. Carlson to remain through the full year. This allowed us to keep moving forward. We'd started teacher negotiations, and if this was not possible, it would have led to further confusion in our district. We are finding it also is difficult to fill certain positions, special education and social studies teachers, as well as some elementary positions. This bill would allow districts to utilize teachers and administrators during a crisis that are often within our community. this would be an excellent tool that districts could use to fill positions that are critical to schools and its administrative functions while facing an unexpected vacancy outside of the regular hiring season. As Lisa Parody mentioned, we've noticed that there is a not an adequate number of teachers applying for all the open positions. We also see at the superintendent level, the pool has been diminishing in the past number of years. As I mentioned, this bill will allow school districts another tool to hire qualified individuals to educate our students in our communities. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the support of this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, and I just want to say you've got a very good school district there, and I think it was not too many years ago that you had a Teacher of the Year come out of Cordova, so good job. All right, next
Thank
up.
Thank you, Senator.
Yep, next up we have Peggy Cowan in Barrow with the North Slope Borough School District. Peggy?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Very good.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Peggy Cowan, and I am Superintendent of the North Slope Borough School District. Thank you, Chairman Bishop, Senators, members of the committee. I am calling in to support Senate Bill 79, and I was one of the representatives. I was the representative, one of the representatives of the superintendent with the School Administrators Association that Dr. Parody talked about when we were setting the priorities, and this was one of our statewide priorities. Dr. Parody and Ms. Peterson have summarized the needs well. My district is just one district with a case in point. As of this week, we have 27 vacancies remaining. We have been to 6 job fairs around the country. We have hired many by Skype. And we are usually done by the middle of April, but we are not complete at this point. Last year, we had a teacher resign late in the summer for one of our outlying communities, and we did not replace that position until January. It was a huge problem, and it was a first grade position. That's an important, you know, developmental year. They can't miss a, you know, time of instruction, and it's a, you know, a big problem. In addition, the one amendment to this that is new is the billing the districts for the TRS retirement, and I haven't had enough time to research that. It's different than it's done with PERS, and I'm wondering why it would be different with PERS and TERS. But what we need is flexibility, and we need high-quality help, and this district, this bill would help it. I can respond to listening and can respond to some of the questions. I was superintendent in Juneau when we had a similar bill in place. We used it rarely, but we did use it. As was indicated, it was met mostly for specialist positions or positions where, unfortunately, I mean, literally, we had a math teacher die and during the school year, and, you know, teachers were already had contracts. One of the reasons urban school districts like Juneau need this as well as rural school districts is that they often have a higher percent of students in special needs. And back in the day, Juneau had a 14% special ed population with 4% high needs. It was often on the highest in the state. And so therefore had a huge volume of specialist teachers that were needed. Juneau did, again, back when this was in place in the past, Juneau did not use it every year, but in the years that we didn't need it and use it, we were basically desperate and would have been, it would have been harmful to students if we had not used it.
Okay.
So again, thank you for your support, and I'll take any questions.
All right, seeing none, thank you for your testimony. We're going to go to Galena. Chris, are you online? Galena City.
Good afternoon. This is Chris Wright. I'm from Galena, Alaska.
Floor is yours. 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I'm also calling to testify in support of the bill. As previously been stated, it is a good bill, and it does provide just one extra tool for school districts in the recruiting process. As been spoken to by Lisa Parity and by others, there is a shortage. The superintendent has turned over quite a bit in this state. Districts are scrambling to find administrators who have Alaskan experience, who has Alaskan success, who knows how the system works, and who can provide calm and dedicated leadership to their districts in difficult times. Has also spoken to in the real high needs area, particularly in special ed, speech pathology, the higher end math, the higher end science. Those are very difficult positions for districts to secure. And this also provides just one avenue that if you cannot fill a position, that you have some potential applicants, best case scenario, already within your community to fill those positions to serve our students. So just kind of in summary, I believe it's a good bill. It provides another tool for districts to use in recruiting the best people for the positions they have to serve the students in their district. And it comes at a real no financial harm to the state. I would ask you all to consider it heavily and move this bill forward. Thank you so much for the opportunity to provide testimony on this bill.
Thank you, Chris. Next, we're going to Matt Sue. Is Deanna, you're online?
Hi. Good afternoon, Senator Bishop and committee members. My name is Dina Poramo, Superintendent of the Mount Sabora School District, and I'm speaking to you today in support of Senate Bill 79. For years, the Mount Sue School District has accessed the extensive experience and expertise of retired employees and educators by allowing for temporary and part-time employment opportunities. However, our efforts to capitalize on such a talented and veteran workforce have been severely limited without a provision to allow for the unrestricted reemployment of retirees, such as Senate Bill 79. As I understand the proposed bill, districts would be permitted to essentially enter into an at-will employment agreement with a retired teacher or administrator so long as that individual has been retired for 3 months or a year, depending on age. Current protections and benefits such as tenure, sick leave, and health insurance would not be required as the nature of the employment relationship with a retired individual is so different. Though some of these limitations are not clearly identified in the proposed bill, we would support their explicit restriction, as well as ensuring that the benefits of this bill exist well into the future by also allowing the rehire of retirees under the new defined contribution plan. I want to assure the committee that the reemployment of retired teachers is not pursued in MAT Sue to avoid the hire of new teachers. Retirees fill gaps when properly certified staff cannot be hired in hard-to-fill areas. They provide temporary or short-term expertise for special projects or initiatives, and they give needed support during high-demand times of the year, such as during summer months and the start of the school year or during assessment periods. We are encouraged by the possibility of being able to hire retired teachers rather than work with contract agencies to more effectively and efficiently fill these needs. One of the most attractive aspects of SB 79 is the potential savings to our district. Again, because certain costs, most notably health insurance, would not need to be provided to retirees, there are significant savings that could be redirected back to the classroom environment or even used to hire new and more classroom teachers. On behalf of the Mount Sue School District, we recognize the fiscal realities that you are facing and appreciate your willingness to provide school districts with increased flexibility and discretion in a time of constricting resources. The Mount Sue embraces innovation and supports creative solutions, and we are encouraged by the concept proposed. It has great potential. And in closing, I just want to share Senator Hoffman's sentiments in regard to incentivizing Bush Alaska for teachers. And if in a perfect world, I would love to see another bill come forward that actually offers folks, if they stay long in Bush Alaska, access to an extra $10,000 a year collected on the third year, or an extra $10,000 a year collected on the fifth year for which they stay. I do think it's imperative for children all around Alaska to have a stable educational environment. So I appreciate that. Thank you for your time and your energy this legislative session.
Thank you for your testimony. That was great. Next, we're going to go to Wrangell. Patrick Mayer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 79. For the record, my name is Patrick Mayer, and I'm the superintendent of Wrangell Public School District. I am speaking in support of this bill, although I was a little concerned and puzzled to see that amendment suggesting a 12% contribution for rehires paid for by the school district. So perhaps Superintendent Callan and I can talk about that one. But anyway, given that, I'm still in support of Senate Bill 79 because we really, really need this as an option. As you've heard, we have a national shortage of teachers. This is no less true in Alaska. Shortage of teachers, principals, and superintendents. It's already been referred to that we have a 50% turnover of superintendents in the last 2 years. And the truth be told, with all the discussion, Alaska isn't competitive anymore with regard to recruiting educators, especially in math, science, and special ed, especially true in smaller communities. The benefits and salary are just not keeping up with the lower 48. So, you know, what this bill is not is it's not a tool to misuse. We need it when we need it, and we in Wrangell, like others have said, we encourage new hires in our district to be able to fill vacant spots. But let me just, by way of example, we had a situation where we had a teacher that went on maternity leave this year. Now, sometimes a teacher may want to be gone for a prolonged period of time. In this particular case, the individual was only gone for a couple months, but if they had wanted to be gone for a longer period of time, we would have been in a difficult situation in general science and chemistry being able to find someone. So we were able to find someone that fell in under the .49, although we did have to jump through a few hoops. So, you know, passage of Senate Bill 79 will allow districts to fill positions in a manner that, you know, won't negatively impact a retired teacher, and they'd continue to collect their retirements and benefits, and the cost to the district would be minimal. It's a great tool in the toolbox to allow us the option of employing retired teachers. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 79.
Thank you for your testimony. Last up is in Palmer, Mary McMahon.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, Senator Bishop and committee members. My name is Mary McMahon. I'm currently a school principal and also serve as president-elect for the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals. I'm calling on behalf of all principals, rural and urban, to speak in support of Senate Bill 79. I myself am from Alaska, born and raised in Kodiak. For the past 17 years, I have served as an educator in Kotzebue, Chivac, and the Mat-Su Valley. I speak on behalf of all Alaskans as a parent and educator in stating that we want what the very best educators working with our students and our children. In regards to the concern about people retiring and then wanting to get back in the system right away, I don't see that being a big concern. I know many educators who've made the best decision for their life at the time when they decided to retire. And during retirement, for whatever reason, things may go differently than planned, and at some point they may be ready to return to public education to serve what's in the best interest of our students and our schools, and could very well be the best candidate to that is needed to do the job at the time. This bill increases the pool of candidates in order for us to provide students in Alaska the best possible education that we can offer them. It is so important during this time as we experience a shortage in securing quality candidates that will effectively serve our diverse schools in Alaska to increase the candidate pool. I find it of utmost importance that we support and approve this bill. I remember 17 years ago being a young teacher going to the job fair, and it was so packed. There were thousands of candidates, and I could barely get Kotzebue to talk, the Northwest Arctic Borough School District, to talk with me because I was just one of so many people that wanted a job up north, and I couldn't even dream of getting a job at the time in Anchorage or the Mat-Su. I had to go to rural Alaska, and I was ready and wanting to do that. I'm from Kodiak, so I just know that I've been to recent job fairs, and there's hardly anyone in the room. And so I've seen the change over time, and I see this need in our state for the very best that we can offer, and increasing that pool is going to give us the opportunity to best meet the needs of our kids, and that's what we're all here trying to do. So I just thank you for listening to me, and thank you for your dutiful service as you reflect on what's best for our public education throughout Alaska, and I appreciate the work you do. And I'm grateful I was actually able to be down in Juneau last month speaking to many people in person. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. We're going to now close public testimony. And any other comments? I've got one to close with. I want to allow the committee members any closing comments before we move, set this bill aside. I'd just like to say to all those that came to hear this testimony today in this bill, I just got one thing I want to say. I know you probably already thought about it, but I cannot help myself, because this is what I did for a living for 25 years, was train and educate people. A little different area, discipline, but there's a lot of similarities. And I would just like to say to those individual school districts that are having problems with maybe that, A, the superintendents are retaining principals or superintendents, what are you doing to grow your own? What are you doing for succession planning within the building of these young teachers that come in there? Have you found a bright, shining star that's an entry-level teacher? Are you grooming that person to come up the ladder to be that superintendent, to stay in that district for 20 years? That's all I've got to say. Okay, hearing no other comments from committee members, we're going to set this bill aside today. And next, we're going to take a brief at ease, and then we're going to bring up, so we get the Senator Egan and his staff up here, but we're going to take a brief at ease. Teachers and Public Employees Retirement Plans by Senator Egan. And I see we have Senator Egan and Jesse Keel are at the committee table. Please, floor is yours, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you very much for hearing this piece of legislation. And with me, as you said, Mr. Chair, is Jesse Keel and my staff. Hopefully, third time will be a charm. Made it through the Senate in 2012. We're going to try it again. Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 88 lets teachers, police, firefighters, and other public employees choose one of two state retirement systems, an individual defined contribution retirement account or earning a defined benefit pension. A defined benefit pension takes time to earn, but it rewards public servants by letting them earn a guaranteed monthly benefit when they retire. And for long-term employees, they can earn help paying for health care. They can stay in Alaska and pay property taxes to their local municipality. Alaska teachers and public employees don't earn the private sector's defined benefit of Social Security, and many even lose Social Security benefits they earned in their past jobs. So for most, a defined benefit pension makes sense. But many will still choose defined contribution. As an example, some have a military or private sector pension, or some have a spouse that's deployed in Alaska and only plan to stay a few years. Others want to control their investments or take their savings to their next job. They could choose defined contribution. Senate Bill 88, Mr. Chair, creates a new, more stable, more predictable defined benefit pension tier. A few years ago, Alaska beefed up oversight of the pension system. Senate Bill 88 keeps those smart safeguards, making Alaska's retirement system stronger than ever. Analysis of a previous version of this bill showed it saves the state about $70 million in 5 years, and it's cost neutral in the long term. It shares the risk of rising health costs between employees and employers, and it adds nothing, not one red cent, to the unfunded liabilities from the past. To make the new system cost neutral, employers will share the risk of health cost rising in the future. That's a risk worth taking, I think, and it's fair to Alaskans. And Jesse Keel on my staff is here to offer a slightly more detailed presentation if the committee desires. And thank you for, again, hearing this bill.
Please do, because we're going to bring this bill up again. As you know, we had one of our favorite topics before that generates a lot of discussion. And this one kind of segues right into what some of the problems were in the other bill. So, with that being said, Jesse, get into it, because I do have a couple of senators that want to go off to another meeting, and we've got three people online to testify.
Me too, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Well, I'll stay here, you know what I mean? I'll fix this while they're gone. But no. Jesse, floor's yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jesse Keel, staff to Senator Egan, happy to work with you, and we'll get her done. Mr. Chairman, to build a little bit on some of what Senator Egan said, I think I would be remiss not to mention some of the testimony on the previous bill about some of the difficulties in the very complex question of teacher retention, and I'm sure there's no one factor that is all of it, but it was fascinating to hear a couple of the testifiers mention that they had teachers leaving Alaska who felt that the retirement system and benefits, including retirement benefits, were one of the factors there. So I think knowing the members on the committee, it's probably not necessary to talk a great deal about how a defined benefit pension system works. I would like instead, especially given that this is the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, to focus a little bit on the economic impact of pensions. The total economic impact of just PERS and TERS pensions to Alaska, according to an independent research group, is about $1.4 billion in our economy. More than 70% of Alaska's PERS and TERS retirees stay in state, and that's by design. The pension system has a cost of living increase if you retire in Alaska. The PERS and TERS trusts together paid more than $1 billion in fiscal year 14 in pension payments. Roughly 90% of those dollars stayed in state. So that really will show you, I think, how effective that is in helping Alaska's public servants to retire here in Alaska. And as Senator Egan said, to have homes in their communities and contribute to their local economies. In that sense, the pension system has been one of the shock absorbers for our economy through the national downturn. There have been a number of them. Certainly healthy capital budgets were a major piece. But through the coming years, that more than $1 billion in functionally payroll, retirement payroll, and an additional roughly $500 million in medical benefits will be a huge element in keeping our local economies healthy. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 88 also addresses a major cost for the state of Alaska, for municipalities and school districts, of turnover. The cost of training new employees is very high. And when you can retain good employees, not lose them to other places and other folks, you save a lot of public dollars. You make a much more efficient use of the public treasury. That is, of course, vital to municipalities and school districts using local property taxes. just to give you a couple of frankly fairly dated estimates, 10 years ago the Department of Fish and Game estimated the cost of training a new biologist was $16,000 in their first couple years. The Department of Public Safety estimated that a new state trooper through the academy equipment and training was $150,000. For those who wish to earn a pension, those who choose make that choice, at present that's not available to them in Alaska. And so we're beginning to see in exit interviews an increasing number of folks who elect to begin their careers here, get significant training, and then take their portable retirement benefit south. Now, for those who want to do that, that's the ideal choice, and Senate Bill 88 retains that choice for them. But for those who would prefer to stay in Alaska throughout their lives, stay local as we grow our own, the opportunity to earn a pension comes back into existence with Senate Bill 88. I'll go through just a few of the details of the bill. I will, unless the members really need a nap, I'll spare you the sectional.
That's fine. Spare us the sectional because we don't have a fiscal note yet. And I think both of the two senior senators to my left and the one at the table are probably pretty familiar with the bill in it of itself, and we're, I know, probably chomping at the bit to get down into some numbers. I know that's where I really want to start diving down into the meat of the whole discussion for myself, not speaking for my committee members. So any other broad sweeps you want to wrap up with, and then we'll go to public testimony. And like I said, this bill's, we're going to come back and hear it again when we...
Just the top line, top level, Mr. Chairman, would be that employees will pay more of their paychecks into this new defined benefit tier than any of the old defined benefit tiers. Employees will contribute more cash. They will always pay a share of their health care in retirement. In the old defined benefit tiers, that was not the case. In this tier, depending on how long you serve, you will pay anywhere from 10% to a great deal more than that, 30% or more of your retiree health insurance. That saves a great deal of money. It shares a great deal of risk with the employees. And there is an adjuster in the bill that ensures that the pre-funding costs, the amount we put away each pay period, to pre-fund these benefits as they're earned, doesn't exceed the defined contribution. So our pre-funding systems will be equal no matter which system our employees choose. I won't go into more detail than that. Mr. Chairman, you alluded to the forthcoming analysis. The department has worked very closely with our office. We understand that they are beginning work on an analysis and will work with us on the bill, and we appreciate their willingness to get that rolling and work with the sponsor.
Because, you know, I'm very interested if at the end of the day when we look at the numbers, and I've got a couple of guys here that are really good at numbers, and to see if, in fact, we really can save the state money, because we need to look at all ways to save revenue, regardless whether we've got good oil prices or we don't have good oil prices, just good business. So with that being said, if any other comments, we'll go online and take our online feedback.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing us to present.
Not a problem. Okay, we're going to go to Fairbanks. And Aaron Danielson with Public Safety Employees. Is Aaron, are you in here? Is he in? Oh, there he is, right there. I'm sorry. Aaron, my apologies, sir. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Aaron Danielson. I'm the president of the Public Safety Employee Association. I've also been an airport police and fire officer for 8 years. I'm a sergeant now up there in Fairbanks. I'll keep this short, as I think this is the third legislature, maybe sixth or seventh committee hearing I've testified in front of. Just to build on some of the other statements, some of you'll probably hear from other and the teachers a few minutes ago, the value of experience is what Alaska's losing with having our current Tier 4 plan. I myself am a current Tier 4 employee, and I can't tell you how many other police officers and fire officers I've seen leave the state for Washington, Colorado, Florida, West Coast, East Coast, everywhere in between, because our benefits just can't keep up with what they're offering. When that we originally went to a Tier 4 system, and the nation went to a recession shortly afterwards, we had the benefit of good pay here in Alaska. And other places were not hiring police officers, they were laying them off. Those times are changing. We have officers that have developed extensive experience and training that are leaving the state for better benefits down south. They're just leaving, and that value of experience is not just that first year. You know, as DPS said, costs approximately $150,000 for the initial training. It's years of experience. You want cops just like you want teachers with experience and expertise to handle hard situations, make the correct decisions on behalf of their community and the state. And with that, I'll end my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Seeing none. Okay. I believe we're going to go off net. And to Jacob Barra and Chugiak from the NEA, National Education Association. Jacob, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you.
Floor is yours. Two minutes, if you could, please. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to share my perspective today. Additionally, I'd like to thank Senator Bishop for the opportunity to present at a recent Lunch and Learn about Teacher Quality. I was there in June a few weeks ago. I'm running about 175 National Board Certified Teachers in the state of Alaska. I currently teach art and serve as the Fine Arts Department Chair at Eagle River High School. I'm calling to speak in support of SB 88, which I believe would greatly improve the current public employee retirement plan, improve teacher quality and retention, and save the state of Alaska money. My wife and I are both educators. After completing my teacher certification program in service in the Marine Corps Reserve, we decided to leave our family in Wisconsin and move to Alaska. This was back in 2003, and before deciding to make the move, we did our research. And without a doubt, a major factor for us deciding to leave everything behind was the opportunity to earn a defined benefit retirement. Our families before us struggled financially, and as two college graduates, we were setting out to build a strong foundation and a better life for our family. Since then, we have a small home in Chugiak where we raised our three kids, all Alaska grown. Next year, my son will start kindergarten at Chugiak Elementary with my two daughters soon thereafter. I tell this story because as I look at the people I work with, I can tell you without a doubt that the best teachers I see around me are typically the ones that are rooted in their school and their community. They see themselves in a position where they're secure, where they can put more emphasis on improving the craft and educational outcomes. They dig a little deeper, like earning the National Board certification, because they're invested in their workplace and they can envision themselves years down the road. In that light, pensions absolutely matter, especially here in Alaska. I often ask myself, if I were a teacher thinking of moving to Alaska now, would I? Now, I love the state, but I can tell you without a doubt that my family just couldn't take that risk. Why would I move over 3,000 miles away from my family and start my own without the opportunity to invest in both Social Security and a defined benefit pension, which is unique to Alaska? Over 70% of educators come from out of the state, and I feel strongly that this factors heavily in recruiting and retaining teachers in Alaska today. I've seen it around me anecdotally, and now the data is starting to suggest the same. According to statistics from Buck Consultants, Alaska has hired 3,037 teachers since 2006. By 2012, only 632 of those teachers have stayed in Alaska more than 5 years. This has led to more costs in recruitment and training, and in my view, the revolving door in the classroom does not contribute positively to educational outcomes for students. I'm excited about this bill because it creates a choice pension system that helps attract and retain quality and effective teachers for the long haul, especially in specialized high-need areas in education and for rural Alaska. Additionally, according to state actuaries, new health care cost safeguards and smaller employer contributions in SB 88 would save $70 million over 10 years. Given the current fiscal situation in the state, this bill just makes a lot of sense. I sincerely thank you for your time today.
All right, Jacob, thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go back to the top of the world in Barrow, and we're going to, as Peggy, are you there, Peggy?
Thank you, Senator Bishop, Chair Bishop, members of the committee, thank you for listening to me again, and I am in support of this bill. I agree with Mr. Keel that the reason I support this bill is the same reasons that I supported Senate Bill 79. Thank you for your time and consideration of our workforce in Alaska. One of the things we're trying to learn how to employ effectively the millennial generation that is our new employees And one of the things that they expect are choices. They like options. And so the fact that this is, gives options is attractive to them. It is similar to the choices that the university was provided in the past. I'd also just like to echo, as a state employee and future retirement person, I've always thought it was unfair that somebody many years before I got here decided that I would never be eligible for Social Security. Defined benefits does make a difference for attracting long-term and for retention, and retention is good for our students, and so I urge you to continue your research and support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody in the room want to testify? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. In wrap up, any further questions from committee members? I don't have any. I got a ton of questions and comments, but not for today. Seeing none, we are going to adjourn. I'm going to set this bill aside. We're going to adjourn. And with that, it is 4:50. Senate Community and Regional Affairs is adjourned.